the newly crowned all-time leading trainer, Dale Roman.
Well, Chef Edward Lee,
I'm honored to be with Dan Issel.
I'm at the offices of Louisville Public Media.
Stephen George,
budding country music star,
J.D. Shelburne.
Rocky Adkins is with us.
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show, Louisville's longest-running and most interesting podcast. Join Rick Redding, your host, as he talks with some of the city's most interesting individuals. The city's leaders in politics, business, sports, and the arts join Rick in lively one-on-one interviews, taking on the topics that are making news in the Ville. Right now, Rick's ready to get the show rolling in the Louisville.am studio. Here's Rick.
Hey, you have found it. It's the Rusty Satellite Show. I'm your host, Rick Redding, right here on the Louisville.am network. Here in the heart of St. Matthews, I am glad to be with you once again for the first Rusty Satellite Show in March, the 296th consecutive week we've had a show. As you know, it always features two guests who are the most interesting people in the Ville. I have not failed you this week. I promise you that. Came together sort of at the last minute, but it's all very good. It all worked out. I'm glad you're joining me on the Rusty Satellite Show. In the second part of the show, you're going to learn something. Both my guests, really, I learned something that I think is universal, that we all need to know about, but maybe we don't. And that's about the driver's license situation in Kentucky. Shelley Snyder has a really long title, as you'll hear in the interview, but she is in charge of organ donation in Kentucky and the organization that encourages people to do organ donation. So I'm going to encourage you right now. I found out that at some time in my past, I did sign up for organ donation. So when I go, my organs will be available to save somebody's life, which is a good thing. And Shelley's got a whole lot more interesting things to say about that. I went over to her office. It is on Eastern Parkway there at the Cozair Charities building there. And so that's coming up in the second part of the show. This program is made possible by my friends at Passport Health Plan, my friends at the Heiser Health, and the Eye Care Institute down there in Butchertown on Story Avenue. It is 502-589-1500. You want to call over there, make an appointment. I got LASIK from the good folks at Eye Care Institute last summer. It was a life-changing experience. I encourage you to consider going there and having your eyes checked out, and perhaps you can get rid of those cheaters I used to wear. It's funny because my girlfriend Paula still does, and so when we go out to eat, she has to grab those glasses, or she just hands the menu to me and I read it to her. So anyway, that's what's going on with the sponsors of this very fine program right on here on the Louisville.am network. All right, I want to tell you about my first guest. We'll get right into the show here. Dr. Whitney Jones, I have met two or three times. He is a gastroenterologist. That's right. He works on the butt. There's a lot of butt. There's a butt joke in the interview, and but Dr. Jones is much more than just a local gastroenterologist. He started the colon cancer project that increased screening throughout Kentucky and brought us. It's really an accomplishment because Kentucky, and as it does in a lot of things, was lagging way behind statistically all the other states in terms of the number of people get screened. And as you would expect in Kentucky, we were unhealthy in this area as well. So Dr. Whitney Jones has created an organization that the Colon Cancer Project that is making progress in detecting colon cancer and preventing it. And there is also, I will tell you right now, a story on Insider Louisville I just wrote about Dr. Jones' work. And he's a multifaceted guy. You'll learn. We had our interview at the North End Cafe right down on Frankfort Avenue. One of my favorite places to go anyway, but Dr. Jones happens to be an owner of that place. And we talk a little bit about the restaurant as well. So I think you'll find it very interesting. I really spent a lot of time down there. We had breakfast after the interview and talked about politics and what makes the world go round, that kind of thing. So But I think you'll like this interview. So it's one of the most interesting people in the Ville, Dr. Whitney Jones, right now.
I admit, I used to think people addicted to painkillers just needed to toughen up, until it happened to my daughter. She really needed help. Thanks to Passport, we got it for her. Our doctor and her Passport case manager made sure she got the services and treatment she needed. Together, we got through it.
Find out how you can get Passport at passporthealthplan.com/together. Passport Health Plan. We're in this together.
Today, the Rusty Satellite Show is at one of my favorite restaurants, the North End Cafe, with Dr. Whitney Jones.
Good morning, Rusty.
Good morning. We kind of have a place to ourselves this morning, but thank you for breakfast. And tell me about this restaurant. You're a gastroenterologist. How are you in the restaurant business?
Well, I like to be in the vertical supply chain business where we, and in fact, we used to grow a lot of our own food and raise our own cattle and then feed it through the restaurant. And then everybody knows what my part of the supply chain is at the end. So my brother, Walton Jones, has been a prominent fixture on Frankfort Avenue and Crescent Hill in real estate for years, and we identified several buildings well over 20 years ago, and initially were co-owners of Furlong's Restaurant, which was a Cajun steak restaurant up the street. And then this became one of our acquisitions, and we thought that it would be a great site for a restaurant. It was underserved down here. It was a beautiful building. And we got together on initially a breakfast lunch concept, which was new back in 2003. There really weren't people doing breakfast and lunch back then. After a couple of years, we expanded into dinner and a full bar. Our partner Christopher Seckman has been with us all along, and you know, it's been a fun ride. It's great, great food. Our goal is made from scratch, locally sourced, and if you can't feel comfortable at the North End, you know, you have a comfort issue.
I always feel like I'm doing a good thing because I assume that what I'm having here is healthy. So
absolutely, yeah, we do our best. I mean, you can't grow tomatoes in Kentucky in January or wherever we are right now, but whenever we can locally source things, we do.
Okay, well, very good. And the North End, we'll talk very briefly, expanded and we're open a while on Barstown Road and recently shut that one down, so...
Well, you know, we had a good run in the Highlands. We love the people of the Highlands, and unfortunately, the model and the location just didn't work for us.
Right.
So, you know, as fun as restaurants are, they're not fun to manage if you're not meeting the end goal, which is some profitability. But again, you know, some of our friends and one of our former chefs has taken over that space and is going to have a place called El Puente. Which is going to be great, and we'll wish them the greatest success in that. So, and we're going to really come double down, because now that Louisville is really coming to Clifton, if you will, you know, with the botanical gardens and the soccer stadium and the expansion of Nulu, we think this is just an unbelievable site and location. So our goal is to dedicate all our resources to make this better, serve the people what they want, and, you know, this is a complex concept, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, seven days a week made from scratch.
Yeah, it's really tough. But
it's tough to replicate. So we're going to really focus on what we can do here and get back to our core goals.
Well, good news. Well, let's talk a little bit about your real job. Doctor of Gastroenterology. It brings up a lot of jokes. I love the name of the event you just held for Colon Cancer Awareness Month. It was called...
The Bottoms Up Bash.
Of course.
And, you know, the Bottoms Up, obviously, like many things in gastroenterology, is a double entendre. You know, it's all about the what you have to do when you're getting your screening work done. But at the same time, we use humor because it's such a fun party. Everybody's having a cocktail. Everybody's dancing. You know, it's time to celebrate. Colon cancer generally is not very funny at all, but somehow the prevention of colon cancer through screening, colonoscopies, sort of makes everybody their own internal 12 or 13-year-old adolescent kid when it comes to jokes. So
we do love to talk about poop.
Well, you know, it's near and dear to everyone, I suspect.
Everybody's got to do it, you know. It all comes out.
And you've had your colonoscopy, too. That's great to start the conversation with. Otherwise, I would have asked you.
Right. Get going there. And you know, everybody talks about the prep was so difficult. But it seems like when we talked a few weeks ago, some things are changing in the field, right? Number one, you're recommending you get checked younger.
Right. Well, there's lots of changes. I mean, the things that folks ought to know who are listening to this is the guidelines have changed from 50 to 45 for someone who is has no symptoms and no family history and no additional risk.
Okay.
So that's 45, not 50. So the time to start thinking about that is when you hit 40. You know, you want to sort of begin to think about that. However, about 20% of people have elevated risk either because of their family history of colon cancer, colon polyps, or other types of cancers. And they really need to have an important conversation with their doctor in their 30s. Because depending on when cancer might have affected folks in their family, they in fact really need to be screened at 40 or 10 years earlier than their person in their family had it. So super important take home. If you have this in your family, you need to talk to your doctors in your 30s, even in your 20s. It's not too early to understand the impact of your family history, particularly for genetic causes of colon cancer and genetic syndromes.
Okay. And you, I want to understand, you're not just some random gastroenterologist. You've started this organization that is national in scope, right? Tell me about that.
Well, the Colon Cancer Prevention Project started in 2003 when I saw three people in 1 week with metastatic colon cancer. At that time, I focused on pancreatic and biliary disease, but I had just had my first son. I thought I was trying to, you know, figure out. Once I figured out we were worst in the nation in screening and worst in the nation in cancer cases, I thought it could be relatively quickly taken care of. Send out some letters, notify the doctors, get your game up. I really didn't understand the complexity of the healthcare public health interaction world. But 15 years later now, this is our 15th year anniversary, Kentucky's moved from 49th in the nation to 16th best in screening. We were just recognized with a National Achievement Award from the American Cancer Society last week as the most improved state in the nation for colon cancer screening percentage rate. And that's really an amazing accomplishment. In fact, I think it's Kentucky's best healthcare parameter along any pieces. And what that translates to is in 2018, 400 people didn't die from colon cancer. 400 people didn't get colon cancer in 2018 who would have, and 230 people who would have died from it didn't die because we caught it earlier or we caught it at such a stage they didn't even need chemo. So it's been a pretty amazing move for Kentucky. But as I said, it's an overnight success, $3 million, 10,000 man hours, and countless works.
Well, I just thought of something I don't know. So you don't get screened and you get colon cancer. What's the prognosis there?
Well, the first thing to remember is the most common sign of colon cancer is no symptoms at all.
Right.
Because when you have a polyp or a small cancer, you have no symptoms. But when a person is diagnosed with cancer, if it's diagnosed at the earliest stages, it just requires a simple resection, either with a colonoscope if there's cancer in a polyp, or with a surgical or laparoscopic procedure. It's not until cancer is broken through the wall of the intestinal tract that it then requires chemotherapy and or radiation therapy or more extensive work. Okay. So the time to find this, first of all, time to find it is before it becomes colon cancer. So get that polyp removed. Don't, you know, find the polyp, skip the cancer.
Okay. So let me ask you a little bit about yourself. You must have grown up around here. And how did you get the path to become a doctor?
I am a Louisville boy, grew up in Hikes Point, J-Town area. I'd always thought about being a doctor, but never too seriously. And then in my junior year of college, I felt like I had to make a decision. I was playing tennis for the University of Oklahoma and getting beaten a lot, and I knew that tennis was not my future. So I was a psychology major, which I still use today, and I decided to go ahead and, you know, go for it. So when I transferred back to the University of Louisville my junior year, I was redshirted from competition. Okay. So I took all my pre-med courses and really refined my study habits to where I could, you know, learn and sort of just committed myself like what we do. And then I moved from Louisville after medical school to Dallas, Texas. And as part of my training in Dallas, I spent 3 months in Tokyo and then a full postdoctoral year at the University of Toronto. And my focus was in pancreatic and biliary disease and gastrointestinal cancer management. So I had a background, but I wasn't woke to the cancer problem in Kentucky really until about 2003.
Wow. So how's your tennis game?
Well, it's on hold with a left knee injury right now. So hopefully I'm going to get back on track. But up until October, I was playing 2 or 3 days a week and enjoying it. And
yeah, getting old is tough, isn't it?
You know, it's much better than the alternative. It just has some bumps. now and then, so I can't complain. I enjoy great health, and you know, that's not my focus. Is my health, but I try to put it into the background because I got so many other things yet accomplished.
I always see doctors. I say, can you look at this? I got this ache. You know, I won't make you do that.
Well, that's okay. I mean, we can make up an interesting exam on the podcast, and no one can actually tell us.
All right, so. Back to, we want to reemphasize as we end the interview, colonoscopy, the importance of getting one, and that you still, if you're getting a colonoscopy though, you still got to do that prep work. That's what everybody hates.
Right. Well, right. Here's the thing. There's several ways to screen for colon cancer.
Okay.
There are non-invasive ways where essentially they either detect for blood in your stool or blood and DNA in your stool from tumors. And if those are positive, you need to get a colonoscopy, right? So they're like the gateway drugs to colonoscopy, the great ray screening test.
Yeah.
Or people can go straight to colonoscopy. And one of the benefits of colonoscopy is you can remove the polyps that are the precursors of the lesions.
Right.
And the other tests aren't so good at, they certainly don't remove polyps, and they tend to find bigger polyps or early cancer. But if you're not going to do colonoscopy, for sure do one of these other less invasive fecal tests. It's super important. Either the one on you see on television with the happy blue box that gets delivered to your door, or a FIT test, which can be either handed out from your doctor. And the stool DNA is every 3 years. A FIT test is every year. Again, the importance is doing the regimen as it's prescribed, because there's evidence-based, tons of scientific data to show that it helps prevent cancer and save lives. And really, that's what we're in the business of.
Okay. Well, we'll wrap it up with, when we were out there doing an interview a couple weeks ago, it seems like everybody's so happy, and you're always, but you must get tired of talking about poop and colon and all that.
Well, not really, because really, when I do your people's colonoscopies, they're as clean as they ever are. So I really don't live in the poop world. I certainly like to help people obtain health and wellness, and you know, if they're having digestive issues, try to get them back on track. But you know, my days, I believe people are what they focus on.
Right.
And I focus on wellness. I try to focus on the good things. I try to focus on the solution, and not the problem. And it's been great to have something that's got a little bit of humor in the background for people, because I think breaking the ice and recognizing is great. And I'm sure that your wife or your partner asks, when you had your colonoscopy, if they could look for your head up there. So I thought you'd finish this with one of my favorite jokes that people come to me with.
That's great. Thanks for being on the show.
Heiser Health, your complete health source for preventative medicine and optimum health. Visit the experts of medical doctors and nurse practitioners so they can evaluate your overall health and your health as you age. Heiser Health uses the primary preventative technique of nutrition with real food and effective exercise. If you qualify, you may need hormone replacement to optimize your health. Call the experts at Heiser Health, 502-882-4252.
And that was Dr. Whitney Jones and me at the North End Cafe. I tell you, the breakfast was really nice there. I had a vegetarian omelet, and it was yummy. It was really great. They've got really healthy food up there at the North End Cafe. It was one of the first places that my doctor, when I said I got to have restaurants to go to with my new diet, and she mentioned the North End Cafe is one of those. It's become an institution up there. They got breakfast, lunch, and dinner now, and drinks, and you can do the whole thing. So, been there a couple times, and highly recommend it. I tell you, so here's the fun thing I did this week on Sunday night. There was a concert at Gravely Brewing, and it's not a big place. There's room for about 50 people. There's probably room for more, but there were about 50 people probably there to see this band called Andy Frasco and the UN. And I wouldn't have known anything about it, but I was in Aspen, Colorado a year or two ago, and was at a happened upon a show where they were playing, and this is kind of what they sound like.
Don't blame it on the drugs. On your rep, don't blame it on the baby that we never had. Don't blame it on my big head. Don't blame it on your pride. Don't blame it on my past, girl, just to start a fight. Well, you know I'm gonna blame something. I blame it on your pride.
Okay, so I was about the oldest person there, and it was just a cool show. You can't imagine this band. There's so much energy. Andy plays an out front keyboard, and there's two guitars and a drum and a guy on a sax. And throughout the show, they're versatile performers. They all like will say, okay, let's switch instruments, and they all go and play a different instrument. It's really cool. Hopefully he'll be back. He made a point on stage, Andy did, that it was the first time in Louisville for the band, and that they liked it so far up till that point on Sunday night. So anyway, that's the fun thing I did. I hope you're all finding something fun to do here around town, because there's a lot going on, as you know, there really is. A thing coming up that you might want to put on your calendar, March 12th, Breakfast of Champions. Police Chief Steve Conrad is going to come on. I'm sure he's going to talk about the tax situation and Mayor Fisher's campaign, I guess we would call it, Mayor Fisher's campaign to get support on the Metro Council for his insurance tax increase, which is very controversial. It's generating a lot of talk around town. Conrad, of course, is for the higher taxes. And, I'm sure it wasn't an intentional thing or a mean thing. He declined the opportunity to come on this show and talk about it. But you can talk to him at the Breakfast of Champions coming up on Tuesday, March 12th. So be sure and check that out. Hey, so the big news today, I'm talking to you on Wednesday. There's a sinkhole at the zoo. The zoo's closed, and so is the mega cavern over there. I don't know if you ever know this about Louisville, but underneath, like the Watterson Expressway at Papa Level, is a massive network of caves, of which the mega cavern is a part of. So today they discovered a large sinkhole over there. Isn't that something? That is a wild thing. Talk about some tell you about some of the things that are going on around town. Schools are out again today. They had a sick out, and apparently the issue is that, wait just a second. Sorry, I had a little thing in my throat there. The issue with the teachers is they call in sick, and you don't know about it in advance. They like call off school at 4 o'clock in the morning. So it's happened twice now, and a lot of the teachers are going off to Frankfurt to protest a bill that, one bill in particular that they're talking about, HB 205, concerns a tax break that the governor wants to give citizens so that they can deduct taxes if they make a donation to a private school of some sort. I'm sure I don't have all the facts on that, but certainly it is a partisan issue. Republicans for, Democrats against. Bevin is certainly no friend of the teachers union, and he probably takes pride in that, but he is not coming down in a very popular way with the teachers. So and the teachers are hurting themselves as well. I mean, do you realize that when school is scheduled and then it's out, we usually talk about this over snow, but people that have kids that have jobs, sometimes they can't go to their job because they have to stay home and take care of their kids, and sometimes they're in jobs that aren't very secure, and sometimes they lose their jobs. This really happens, and so that's a shame too. That's something we ought to be aware of, I don't know that there's a great solution to all this, but that's what we're dealing with the school system right now. At least it's not snowing. We're not out of school because of that. I did want to mention some news in sort of the restaurant development industry. Our good friend Andy Bleeden is back in the news. If you go down to Butchertown, next to the Butchertown Grocery, there's a place called Dryden Provisions, and Andy is. There was a story that came out this week that Andy wants to put a brewery and a whole development there. And even though that, there's a lot of details to be worked out. He was very cagey, I guess, when dealing with the media about what it was going to be like and what any details of it were. But anyway, Andy said, he's looking to do that. He's also got that corner. I don't know if you've noticed that, but if you go to the corner of Frankfurt and Melwood, the old gas station, and I remember last year there was a stand for fruits and vegetables over there. He's cleared that lot and is looking for ideas for what to put on there. I wish he'd come up and get the old Barbara Lee's lot across the street from where I live. That would be nice to see that developed into something pretty cool. All right, some other restaurant news. Doc Crow's on Whiskey Row is not closing, but they're taking over the place next door, which is El Barrios is sort of a Latin or a Mexican place, and they're developing a new concept that's going to open up pretty soon. So that's going to be something to watch for. And also, our good friends at the Olé Restaurant Group are doing a little experiment. They're having a takeover of a new menu concept. They have a bourbon and steak restaurant, and they're going to test it at Artesanos, which is their place in Westport Village. So all kinds of stuff going on in the restaurant world. A year ago, I was looking over my Facebook feed, you know, that they always remind you of things that you did a certain number of years ago. Well, a year ago, I did the story on the Omni and the opening of the Omni. It's now been around for a full year and seems to be great. As a Lyft driver, I get a lot of pickups there. It's a busy place. There's a lot of events held there, and it's a great addition to our city. I will tell you that. It is really nice to have the Omni downtown, and I don't know how they're doing on renting out those apartments up top, but I'm sure you could still get one if you wanted. You could call them, right? Okay. So that's sort of a little quick roundup of the news. I want to get on to our next guest, Shelley Snyder. And before I do that, I want to tell you a little bit about Louisville.am. There's a new show on Louisville.am, a new podcast. If you haven't heard it, it's called Lou Review, LOUREVUE. And you can find it on iTunes, just like you can the Rusty Satellite Show or the Crunch Zone, which is also on the Louisville.am network. And if you have an idea for a podcast of your own, I encourage you to get in touch with me. I got a couple in development right now, and we're looking forward to getting those launched in the very near future. And we're going to make this podcast revolution really happen. I hope you're listening to a lot of different podcasts in addition to the Rusty Satellite Show, but that's what we're doing right here on the Louisville.am network. All right, Shelley Snyder. I heard about this this legislation that passed yesterday, and I'm going to take an aside for a second, because she really compliments the information technology people at the state, and that's a guy. She talks in the story about this guy, Mr. Grider. Now, I didn't want to mention it in the interview itself, but this guy, Charles Grider, he makes $375,000 a year as the CIO for the state of Kentucky. He's a buddy of Governor Bevin's, of course, and he's the highest paid state CIO in the country by like a lot. A lot. There's been movements to get his pay cut around the state and all that. And anyway, this is just the first time that I've heard of this guy, this highly paid CIO, actually doing anything. And he did a good thing. Shelley Snyder's a big fan of Mr. Grider, who came up with the way to get these organ donations to make it easier for people to volunteer to donate their organs after they die, which is a very important issue. And I'm glad it got worked out. Shelley is a big supporter of this movement. What happened was, in a nutshell, is that the state, you're now only going to have to renew your driver's license every 8 years instead of 4 years. And that gives, in the only time that people are traditionally asked to donate their organs is when they get a new driver's license. So if you're only doing it once every 8 years, other than once every 4 years, there's not as much asking going on. And there was a fear that the number of organ donations would decline. And we're Shelley says we're doing pretty good. I think she said 60% of people volunteer to donate their organs. Well, other states are higher than that, of course. And so this move is a very important thing for organ donation, but I got into a conversation with Shelley about some other stuff. And I think you'll enjoy that in this interview that's coming right up. So hang in there. Stay tuned. Here's my interview with Shelley Snyder. All right. Today, I've wandered my way over to the Cozair Charities building. I'm with Shelley Snyder. Shelley, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
You have quite a long title by your business card here.
I do.
Do you have it memorized?
I do.
Okay. Let's hear it.
I am the executive director of the Kentucky Circuit Court Clerks Trust for Life, which is the organ donation awareness program in Kentucky.
Okay. Very good. Well, that's good. You've been here a while, since 2010.
Yep. I have been executive director since 2010. My love for the mission started many years before that, but officially as executive director since then.
Yeah. We'll just start with what you told me that I thought was kind of cool, that you previously had the difficult task of going in and talking to people whose loved ones had just died. Tell me about that job.
Yeah, I was a family support liaison for an organ procurement organization right after college up in Cincinnati, and I I had the challenging and emotional, but also incredibly just honored to have the position to talk to families after the loss of their loved one and offer them the opportunity to save someone else's life through organ and tissue donation. And it was incredibly emotional, but it was also so beautiful that these families in the worst moments of their life were able to think outside of themselves and know the impact that they could make on the world and the legacy their loved one could leave by saying yes to donation and then going on and saving someone else's mom from having to have that loss sure. of their child because they did get the transplant that they needed so they didn't lose a loved one. So it really, it was incredible. And I got to meet so many families and I've got to stay in touch with them afterwards through aftercare programs and see the way their family evolves and often gets to meet some of their recipients okay. and write letters and get to see the legacy that their loved one has created. So it was an honor to do.
Okay. But I don't imagine everybody reacts positively. I mean, you didn't get 100% of people to go for it, right?
Yeah, most people do. Very, very close to 100%. But occasionally there were families that would say, you know, we're just not interested. And of course, then that would be fine. And their loved one would go to the funeral home and they wouldn't save lives. But it was incredible because occasionally I would get a call that would say, you know, Shelley, you asked me at that time and I just couldn't wrap my head around anything. But now I really wish my husband could have saved someone's life. And I mm-hmm. wish I would have said yes. Of course, at that point, it's too late. But that's what really empowered and spurred me into wanting to be in public education, which is what we do here at the Trust, that gets to people and talks to people about this mission well before they're ever in a situation where they're really deciding if their loved one or they are going to be a donor. So it's really kind of led me to where I am.
Okay. Well, very cool. Well, I noticed after your instruction on my own license that I have signed up for the organ donor registry. I didn't.
Yes.
I wasn't aware of that.
You have the heart on
good
your
for
license.
Me. I
have
a
yes,
heart. You, have
you
a heart
are a
on
good
your
person, generous.
That's right.
Compassionate person.
That's what everybody says about me, and. So that's great. But how many people really do it?
60% of Kentuckians are currently registered donors. So we're just about to hit our 2 million mark, which is really
wow.
exciting. But it continues to grow every single month. The circuit clerks add between 7 and 10,000 people to the registry every single month.
Wow.
So Kentucky is a leader in the nation. We are one of the fastest growing registries. And we know that's not unusual for Kentuckians. We are the most generous. We'll give the shirt off our back to our neighbor. And so, of course, it makes sense that many people are saying, well, yeah, when I'm gone, if I could save a child's life or a person's life, I'm willing to do it. And that is what people are saying when they register. It's just a
wow.
simple yes that leads to hope for so many people who are waiting on a transplant.
Well, certainly you obviously believe in the mission. I'm curious as to I know your organization and others were worried because Kentucky switched to an 8-year cycle of getting your driver's license. So you don't have to go back every 4 years to get a new license. But it's at the point where you get your license that people make the decision to do the organ donation. So what's going on with that?
Exactly. So 99% of people join the registry when they get their driver's license. The incredible circuit clerks and their deputies ask, would you like to register? And people say yes, and it's real easy. And they have done incredible work at the circuit clerk's office. And as I said, added those 2 million names. And in coming about this summer, when the new voluntary travel ID, the federal ID, comes to Kentucky, which is going to be great for Kentuckians, but it's going to change the way driver's license works. And so you, again, only have to renew your license once every 8 years. This means that we will only be able to ask people about joining the registry once every 8 years, which drastically reduces the numbers of people that,
sure.
that will be asked and
in
how
theory, it would
common.
Be half.
Right. Potentially.
Okay.
The you
so
know,
you're doing something about it.
Yeah. So we've really, our board of directors of circuit clerks were understand the reason to go to the 8-year license, but wanted to make sure that the mission of organ donation would not suffer because of that. So together we worked with Senator Julie Rocky Adams, and the ideas that came out of a great meeting with the Commonwealth Office of Technology, we met with the CIO of Kentucky, Chuck Grindle, and it was incredible. He and his team came to that table, researched, and said, we've got a great idea for you, and you all may not know about this single sign-on portal. You probably don't, but it's out there, and it could really close this gap that you all are going to hit, and let us tell you about it. And so Dr. Grindel and his team really laid out a great plan and allowed us to reach, or hopefully we'll reach about 1.1 million Kentuckians a year through this online portal. And so we are going to make up for any loss that we would have at the driver's license office. So we're real excited.
So where's the online portal?
So it is when you are using a variety of government services. The way it used to be years ago was that you'd have different username and passwords for all these different online forms, getting Medicaid and SNAP benefits and some different things like that, that business registrations, some things that lots of people use, and you'd have all these different usernames and passwords. Well, Chuck Grindel and his team at the Commonwealth Office of Technology have created a single sign-on portal. So it's called the Kentucky Online Gateway. And it's simply a profile page that when you fill out your information, you can create one username and password. And once you're through the portal, you have access to all those government services, and you don't have to remember all these username or passwords. It's just such good common sense, efficient, makes all of our lives a lot easier. So our question about joining the Organ Donor Registry will now be on that profile. So 1.1 million.
Multiple times, whether you're going to be.
Yeah, if you haven't already registered. So once you register, you don't have to keep joining or join again. You're already on there. But yeah, if you haven't registered, you're going to be given the option to register.
Okay. Well, let me ask you, so this isn't related to this, but I'm having trouble understanding the whole driver's license thing.
Yes.
And so I don't know if I have to go get a different driver's license when I travel or what. There's a lot of misinformation out there, right?
There is. And our circuit clerks are working hard to get the information out, as is the Department of Transportation. So I tell people to make sure they go to drive.ky and learn more about what you need to bring. But this was something that after 9/11, federally was decided that we needed some special identification. And this has now come to Kentucky, and in order for us to be compliant with these new regulations, we had to update our driver's license. And so what's going to happen, it won't be right now. It's not right now. People don't need to run out and get a new driver's license. In fact, it hasn't even rolled out just yet. So by this summer, hopefully we will have this new driver's license, and you'll have to bring some information. I tell people to go to the website, and they can they'll bring information to the circuit clerk's office. They will be issued a voluntary travel ID is what people can get, and that allows them to fly and go into federal buildings and go on Army bases and different things that you need that you have to have a federally compliant ID.
Okay.
So, and then that you'll only have to renew once every 8 years. And so you'll still be given the option to join the registry at that point and donate
to
the cause.
But I don't have to have two different documents.
No, you don't. You will not need, you will not, okay. It'll be your driver's license and your federal ID together
on one
document.
But if I'm like in the middle, if I'm 2 years from having to renew, am I going to have to go renew early?
No, they will. So my understanding is that it'll be October of 2020 when they will officially say you have to have this federal ID in order to fly and do all these things. So you have until October of 2020, and maybe even longer. I'm not sure what extensions or something Kentucky might get. But ideally, you would get the new voluntary travel ID. And I believe. I don't want to speak incorrectly, but. I'm just
worried about
grab the website. I know, but you don't have to worry about it right now. And
tell me I'm not going to get thrown off the airplane.
You will not get flown off the airplane.
Kentucky.
Yes, not until next year.
I remember when it came out, you know, because I said, well, it's only Kentucky, you know, like all the other states are affected.
They're already doing it. No, well, they just had already done it over since 9/11, since 2001. Slowly people have been jumping on, and so Kentucky's now.
Oh, so we're last.
Jumping on. We were one of the last. We're not the very last. And, you know, other states have actually decided that they're not going to fall in line and that people have to get passports. So that would be the other option, is that if you are worried about it but you have a passport, your passport is a federal ID, so you could use that to fly. But, of course, we know passports are $100 and something yeah. and they are not if you lose it and things like that. So having this voluntary travel idea, I'm excited for Kentucky. I think it's going to be great. And then it's just one small ID instead of having to drag your passport every time you want to fly to Atlanta.
But there's going to be people in October 20 who haven't updated their driver's license who are going to get kicked off airplanes.
I don't you should know see that the face for she's sure. Making. I you know, I don't know. This is not my 100% area of expertise, but it is something that people should look up and will be communicated very well.
We're going to get tired of hearing about it.
You're going to get tired of hearing about it. And just the one thing I would like to say is that this is a mandate and that the circuit court clerks are simply working to enact what has been required of them. So be
it's
patient
not their fault,
and
right?
lovely with the – it's the same as, you know, when you're getting on the – you know when your flight's delayed and people want to yell at the customer service rep?
I just got to yell at somebody.
It's not their fault. And so it is not those circuit clerk's fault. It's not that deputy clerk's fault. She's just – or he's just trying to do what they can to help you get on that flight and ensure you can go on vacation. So
we can just call Bevan and bitch at him.
Well, you can call the Department of Transportation, who too is just enacting what federal requirements have required.
We can never find the top.
So
really
maybe – you know, maybe George Bush back in 2001, wow. We can all go back to him.
Wow. Well, that's really something. I know that's not why we're here
right.
to talk. We're talking about organ donation, but I was really curious about that. So let's remind people, we got to wrap it up here. Organ donation is very important.
Yes.
And when you get your driver's license, you have the opportunity to volunteer like I did.
Absolutely. And it is. I mean, you know, people think about it and it's like, people don't want to maybe talk about death or talk about what happens after you die. But I'll tell you, if you've ever, someone in your life has ever needed an organ transplant, I mean, think about that. If your child's not feeling well one day and you take them into the doctor and they say, your child's liver is failing. And that's how quick it happens sometimes. I mean, we have recipients and the whites of their daughter's eyes were just a little yellow and they wondered if it was an allergy or what was going on. And they said, no, her liver is failing. She will die within weeks if she does not get a liver transplant. You need your liver. You need your heart. You need your lungs and your kidneys. I mean, it is death within a short amount of time if you do not receive that gift of life. And so imagine if that was your family and how much you would want someone else to save their life. And all of us might be able to be that hero one day when we're 700 years old and, you know, and we're gone. If we could save a child's life or a person's life, I mean, who wouldn't do that when you're done with them? So that is the thing to really think about. If you would take it, for your child or your grandchild, you know, we got to be willing to give. And all those crazy urban legends out there of, oh, the doctor's not going to try to save me. That's completely untrue. It is, doctors don't know you're registered. It is a confidential registry. No nurse, no doctor has access to that. It is confidential and only after someone has died is organ donation considered. So it's nothing to be, you know, anything but to just to know that you're offering hope to all those moms and dads on the waiting list right now. And you're saying, you know, yeah, if I could save your life when I'm gone, I'm willing to do it. And that's what the registry is. And we hope that, we know Kentucky is such a generous state and currently 60% are registered. We want to make that 70%. Like, I mean, Indiana is in the upper 70% of Indiana residents are registered. So we know Kentucky can get there and we know that more lives will be saved. So that's our hope.
So there you go. Do a good thing and sign up for the organ donation on your with the circuit clerk when you get your license. It's easy to do, and you're not going to know about it because you know after you die you don't really care what happens to your body, and so a lot of people do it. I love that story about her job that she had going in and asking grieving families if they will donate their loved one's organs. It seems like a very challenging emotional position that Shelley did, and now she's doing great work in the world, and also a reminder from Dr. Whitney Jones to get your colonoscopy if you haven't already done that at age 50 or younger, depending on your factors. You can read that story, and Insider Louisville has a lot of detail about colon cancer and the methods being used to prevent it these days. And you can go to the North End Cafe and have a meal and think about that. So anyway, that's what the Rusty Satellite Show is all about. It's the most interesting people in the Ville, and I'm very happy to be doing this show. Coming up on 300 shows, can you believe that? I don't know, somebody come up with an idea for how we might celebrate 300 different shows of the Rusty Satellite Show. It's coming right up in, 4 weeks, unless something happens that I'm not aware of. And so the next thing that's coming up, the big thing I want to remind you once again, the Breakfast of Champions is March 12th, Tuesday morning, with Police Chief Steve Conrad. You bring $20, and you get a buffet breakfast right there at the University Club on the U of L campus. And you can find that on the Facebook page. If you sign up for my weekly newsletter, there's something about it in there. If you're not signed up and want to be, let me know, or send me your email address. The best way to reach me is through Facebook, Rick Redding on Facebook. I've been getting a lot of Facebook friend requests lately. And thank you for those. I'm glad you want to follow what I'm doing either here or with LouisvilleKY.com, the Pulse of the City. It's our news website, and the Rusty Satellite Show, and all the shows right here on the Louisville.am network. It's a big time of year for the Crunch Zone as the University of Louisville basketball teams, men's and women's, are getting ready for the NCAA tournament. Actually, conference tournaments first, and then the NCAA tournament. So those shows come out every week on right here on this network. So tune in for that as well. Anyway, that's what it's all about. Thanks to my sponsors, Passport Health Plan, the Eye Care Institute, and Heiser Health for sponsoring this show and making it all possible. Glad to be with you. This is Rick Redding for the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. Rick will be back in the Louisville.am studio with two more of the most interesting people in the Ville next week. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. To suggest a future guest or inquire about doing your own podcast, get in touch with Rick through Facebook or Twitter, or send an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. To see the full list of guests who have appeared on the show since 2013, go to rustysatelliteshow.com.